This week's newsletter summarize is a vulnerability affecting older versions of L&D. It describes an idea for improving privacy when using Cosigner services, and it examines the impact of switching to Quanta, resistant signature algorithms on HD wallets, scriptless multisig, and silent payments. Also included are our regular sections summarizing popular questions and answers on the Bitcoin Stack Exchange, announcing new releases and release candidates, and describing notable changes to popular Bitcoin infrastructure software, news, first, the L&D Gossip Filter Denial of Service Vulnerability. Matt Morehouse posted to Delving Bitcoin about a vulnerability affecting past versions of L&D that he previously responsibly disclosed. An attacker could repeatedly request historic gossip messages from an L&D node until it ran out of memory and was terminated. The vulnerability was fixed in L&D 0.183, released in September 2024. Chain code withholding for multisig scripts. Jervis Tan posted to Delving Bitcoin about research he performed with Jesse Posner. The research focuses on improving the privacy and security of multisig collaborative custody. In a typical collaborative custody service, a 2 of 3 multisig may be used. The three keys would be, first, a user hotkey that is stored on a networked device. This key signs transactions for the user, either manually or through software automation. Second, a provider hotkey that is stored on a separate networked device under the exclusive control of the provider. This key only signs transactions according to a policy previously defined by the user. For example, it might only allow spending up to X BTC a day. A user cold key is a key that is stored offline. It is only used if either the user hotkey is lost or the provider ceases signing authorized transactions. Although the above configuration can provide a significant boost to security, the setup method almost always used involves the user sharing with the provider, the BIP30, two extended public keys for both. The user's hot and cold wallets. This allows the provider to detect all funds received by the user's wallet. It also allows them to track all spends of those funds, even if the user spends without provider assistance. Several ways to mitigate this privacy loss have previously been described. However, they are either incompatible with typical use, such as using separate tap leaves, or complex, such as requiring MPC. Tan and Posner describe a simple alternative. First, the provider generates half of a BIP30, 2HD extended key. They generate just the key part. They give the public key to the user. Second, the user generates the other half, which is the chain code. They keep this private. When receiving funds, the user can combine the two halves to create an extended public key, also known as an XPUB, and then derive multisig addresses as usual. The provider doesn't know the chain code, preventing them from deriving the XPUB or discovering the address. When spending funds, the user can derive from the chain code the necessary tweak that the provider needs to combine with their private key to create a valid signature. They simply share this tweak with the provider. The provider can't learn anything from the tweak, except that it's valid for spending from the specific script pub key that received funds. Some providers may require that the change output for a spending transaction sends the money back to the same script template. Tan's post describes how this can easily be accomplished. Research indicates common Bitcoin primitives are compatible with quantum-resistant signature algorithms. Jesse Posner posted to Delving Bitcoin several links to research papers. These papers indicate that quantum-resistant signature algorithms provide comparable primitives to those currently used in Bitcoin. This applies to BIP30, 2HD wallets, silent payment addresses, scriptless multi-signatures, and scriptless threshold signatures. Selected Q and are from Bitcoin Stack Exchange. Bitcoin Stack Exchange is one of the first places OpTech contributors look for answers to their questions. Or when we have a few spare moments, we help curious or confused users. In this monthly feature, we highlight some of the top voted questions and answers posted since our last update. How does Bitcoin Core handle reorgs larger than 10 blocks? The charlatan links to Bitcoin Core code that handles chain reorganizations. The code handles this by only re-adding a maximum of 10 blocks worth of transactions to the mempool. Advantages of assigning device over an encrypted drive. Red Gritty Brick points out that data on an encrypted drive can be extracted while the drive is unencrypted. However, hardware signing devices are designed to prevent this day extraction attack, spending a taproot output through the keypath and scriptpath. Antoine Poinsart details how the use of Merkle trees, key tweaks, and leaf scripts achieves taproot's keypath and scriptpath spending capabilities. Releases and release candidates. New releases and release candidates for popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects. Please consider upgrading to new releases or helping to test release candidates. Libsec 250, 6K1 version 0.7.0 is a release of this library containing cryptographic primitives compatible with Bitcoin. It contains a few small changes that break API and ABI compatibility with previous releases, notable code and documentation changes. Notable recent changes in Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, LND, Libsec 250, 6K1, Hardware Wallet Interface also known as HWI Rust Bitcoin, BTC Pay Server, BDK, Bitcoin Improvement Proposals, or BIPs Lightning Bolts, Lightning Blips, Bitcoin Inquisition, and Binance. Bitcoin Core Issue Number 32520-1 makes legacy transactions with more than 2,500 signature operations, or SIGUPs, non-standard. This is in preparation for a potential consensus cleanup soft fork upgrade that would enforce the limit at the consensus level. If the soft fork took place without this change, miners who do not upgrade could become targets of trivial denial of service or DOS attacks. See newsletter number 340 for additional details on the legacy input SIGUPS limit. Bitcoin Core Issue Number 31820-9 adds resource limits to the Orphan Transaction Handler, TX Orphanage. See newsletter number 304. This is to preserve opportunistic one, parent, one child, one P1C package relay in the face of DOS spam attacks. Four limits are enforced. A global cap of 3000 orphan announcements to minimize CPU and latency cost, a proportional per peer orphan announcements cap, a per peer weight reservation of 20, 4 times 400, kWU, and a variable global memory cap. When any limit is exceeded, the node evicts the oldest orphan announcement from the peer that has used the most CPU or memory relative to its allowance, highest peer DOS score. The PR also deletes the Maxofantex option, default 100, whose policy of evicting random announcements allowed attackers to replace the entire orphan set and render one P1C relay useless. See also newsletter 362. LDK 3008-101 extends attributable failures to the payment success path by recording how long a node holds an HTLC and propagating those hold time values upstream in the attribution payload. Previously, LDK only tracked hold times for failed payments. See newsletter 340-9. LDK number 3842 extends its interactive transaction construction state machine. See newsletter number 290-5 to handle the signing coordination. For shared inputs in splicing transactions, the prefix field of the TX add input message is made optional to reduce memory usage and simplify validation. BIP number 1890 changes the separator parameter from plus sign to minus sign in BIP 77, because some HTML 2.0 URI libraries treat plus as if it is a blank space. In addition, fragment parameters must now be ordered lexicographically, rather than in reverse, to simplify the async pay-join protocol. Bolts number 1232 makes the channel type field, see newsletter number 160-5, mandatory when opening a channel, because every implementation enforces it. This PR also updates Bolt 9 by adding a new context type, T, for features that can be included in the channel type field. Want more? For more discussion about the topics mentioned in this newsletter, please join us for the weekly Bitcoin Optech recap on riverside.fm at 4:30 p.m. UTC on July 29th. The discussion is also recorded and will be available from our podcast's page.